Kyle said, I got my voice back. I don't know if that's good or bad, but anyway. Struggling last week. Thanks for your prayers on my behalf. Certainly appreciate what you prayed for and what God did. And glad to be feeling so much better. It was seemed like very temporary, so thank God for that. Didn't mean to imply in the first lesson that all teachers are bad. There's some in our audience that I'm afraid that will stone me on the way out. So I just wanted to clarify that. All teachers in schools aren't bad. You still have to watch out for them, though. But you're just pointing that out. But how many of us, you know, we talked about being parents. How many of us can say, you know, I just spent way too much time with my children. I mean, looking back, I just overdid it. I just know I did. Well, I just studied the Bible with them way too much. You know, I mean, I did. I prayed too much. I worked too hard for God in front of them. How many of us are willing to say we did that? Again, my hand's going to be down, so I'm not going to do it. But I'll tell you what. There may be some children in the audience who say, my parents spend way too much time with me. I don't like this at all. And as I look around the room, and I'll just pick on a few, and reason for this, like with Mark and Lauren, they still have Lily at home and they're still working on her. She just turned another year yesterday. How many years are they going to have? And I look behind them and I see Roger and Judy and I think, wow, you know, they worked so hard on Roger Jr. And it's the best you could do. I understand that. And when you think about it, the truth is, as we're going to talk about, that's totally different. Then I look on back there, and Brad's mom and grandmother are there, and they're still working on him, and he still needs a lot of help. I mean, I see it all the time in them. So we never give up. When do you cease being a parent? Long as you're in this life, you don't cease being a parent. It's just something about that. You just feel like you need to parent those children, don't you? You just have to back off sometimes, though, and think about it. So when we think about that, we talked about this from Galatians 6, about this principle that's taught, about whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Reaping what we sow in the family. Parents reap what they sow. We all do. There's a principle taught about this. We look around at nature and we understand this. We see it clearly. Same with us as Christians, and I use this. Most men spend the first half of their life making the second half miserable. And you know why he said that? Because that's the way most people look at it, isn't it? I've heard people say, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have done better in my first half. Have you ever heard someone say that? I've had several people tell me that in their life. Isn't that sad? First lesson, we talked about parents. In this lesson, we're going to talk to young people about their responsibilities. If you want to fail, sow to the wind. You just throw it up in the wind and see what happens. You just live your life like it's nothing. And I know I'm using a principle again, not the context, from Hosea 8:7. They sow to the wind and reap the whirlwind. You want to reap the whirlwind? Just sow those seeds of wild, as they say, used to in my day, wild oats. We don't hear that much anymore. But you throw that up in the air and see what you get. It just doesn't work well. If you want to succeed, though, sow to the Spirit. He who sows the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So as young people, your parents doing the best they possibly could, hopefully. Tried to talk to you, tried to teach you, tried to live in front of you the best they possibly could. Making mistakes, admitting their mistakes in front of you. You need to continue well. Your parents are going to turn it over to you. One day, all of a sudden, there you are, and all the responsibilities that you used to not have to take on are yours. So you got a choice now. You can turn around and do whatever you want to. And you can always blame it on your parents, right? Because we made mistakes. You can say, well, if they'd have done better, that thing isn't going to work. The question is, are you going to continue well? One of the worst habits I had growing up was, and I'll bet you never had this one, I wouldn't listen. How many times did my parents say, listen. And my nickname was Corky. Shut up and listen. And that's more than just letting it go in the ear. What they were talking about is, don't just hear what I'm saying. And again, a context here, I understand in James 1:19, but I want to use it as a principle. Isn't it amazing? The only time in life when I knew everything was when I was a young person. I knew it all. Knew better than my parents. I was so much smarter. Mark Twain, you've heard this saying of his, when he was 20 years old, his parents were the dumbest people he ever met in his life. He turned 21, he couldn't believe how much they had learned in 12 months. You see, I'll tell you when you want to know how much your parents knew, start raising them, some children on your own. We can hardly wait, can't we? We can hardly wait till the one day we can put that, as I've said before, that curse on them. Just wait till you have children. Wow, that's like a curse. Because the minute they have them, they're like, wow. Was I anything like this? Have you ever asked your parents that? So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Man, as a kid, I just need to speak up because I knew it all. But we need to listen to instruction from our parents. My son, in Proverbs 1, 8 and 9, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Proverbs 4, 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding. He's talking about a father that's doing his best to train his children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction. But he who received correction is prudent. Listen to wisdom. In Proverbs 2, and a lot of the things we're going to read are going to be found. It's amazing how much, as we read Proverbs and the wisdom that's there, we can certainly understand some things about life and about this relationship that we have both as a parent and then as a child. And he certainly gives a lot of good instruction. And again, this is from a man who didn't follow necessarily the instruction he gave. That's amazing, isn't it? We can be just so smart, we can understand God's will, and still will not follow it. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then, you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Now, you're not going to get this from your parents. They're going to do the best they can. That comes from the Lord. You know where your parents, if they taught you that, learned that? From the Lord. None of us are wise enough to know the things that God points out from His Word. We need to understand and know them. And if we expect to extend our life through doing them, we find that wisdom is the principal thing. Pray for it. Seek it out from God's Word. Proverbs 4, 7 through 10. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. You want to shorten your life? Just disobey God. Go against everything that He's taught you. And how many young people today do we see that die very young because they did not listen to the wisdom of God? And then don't just listen. If your parents are telling you something from God's Word and they're telling you how to live your life, you obey them. Don't do it out of a have to. Do it because you want to. What are parents? Well, they're your first instructors. They are your first glimpse of God. They better be. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. When we look at this, it is the first, he says, commandment with a promise. If God makes a promise, He'll keep it. When do you quit honoring your parents? Honor to whom honor is due. I still honor my parents today. I don't blame one fault of mine on my parents. Every fault that I have is mine again. My parents did the best they could. They always prayed for wisdom. They always prayed for understanding. They tried to bring me up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It was me that didn't want to hear. Me that didn't want to obey. As he continues this thought in Colossians 3, verse 20, a little different take on it. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You know, I made some decisions in my life. There were certain things my parents told me I wasn't going to do. And I paid for it. For those of us, you know my dad, that when he caught me, it wasn't, "Oh, little Abe, oh, you little sweet thing, you." No. You know why he did it? He loved me. He loved me. And you know why he made me say he loved me? Proverbs 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother," talking about good parents, "the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." He's saying, you know what? You better obey. Then you have to start obeying God. Over time, you realize your parents are leading you to someone. They're talking to you about someone. They're telling you about someone. How often? All the time. Through their life and through their words and what they're saying from Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Why? Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you shall say, "I have no pleasure in them." Young people, I know this is going to surprise you, but my body, as he talks about on down from here, is slowly going away. My insides are slowly decaying. I know I look as young as I did when I was 12 or 13. No. No. Difficult days come. He's not talking about in this context he's talking about just the fact that the body, start enjoy it now. Put God first in your life now. Because there may come a time when you say, "I'm not going to do it." And take the chastening of the Lord. Talked about in the Old Testament and the New, Proverbs 3:11 and 12. "My son, do not despise the chastening." Chastening is not punishment, necessarily. Chastening is straightening out a life. It's straightening out something. It's putting it back where it belongs. It's getting it right. Nor detest His correction. It isn't always that... I think people have this idea that it's God coming up and slapping us. No, it's not. Out of His love, He's putting things in our way. He's letting other people come and say, "Hey, straighten out your life. Get it right. You're doing wrong." He lets us go through things. You know, it's a lot. You want patience for it? I say all the time, because there's so many things in my life that I just have to sit back and be very patient about. I still need it. Everything in my life. "For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. Just as the Father in whom He delights." You know how you're going to know that your parents love you? It's when they correct you. Isn't that amazing? Just the opposite of what we think. When they try to straighten you out. When they keep working on you and say, "Listen, this is what you need to do." I get discouraged sometimes. Young people are not living a life of service. They want to be served. We've spoiled them. We've waited on them. Hand and foot, as my mother used to say. We've given them everything they want. They have never learned service. Make them serve when they're young. Make them. Make them serve with what they have. Give them things that they, in turn, can use for other people. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor, and this is all about the young people in that first context, about wisdom. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. Teach them. 27 and 28, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it is in the power of your hand to do so, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Let your children do some of the things. Show them how to do it. Let them do it. Give them the time to serve other people. Maybe you go with them, or maybe you send them. And then serve with your life. It's a life of service, young people. Don't start thinking I'm going to be waited on the rest of my life. Your life is here to serve. As Christ said, I came to serve. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Make it a life of service. And then stand for what you believe in. Stand for God. Understand that God is first and foremost in your life, and all these passages are going to come from the book of Ephesians. When you look at it, Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And a person might say, well, how can I be strong for God? What do I possibly do? Well, let's look by learning His truth. 14 through 17, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. It isn't your parents' responsibility to teach you. Your responsibility to put it on your. Girded your waist with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. As your parents have protected you with the Word of God, now it's your turn to protect yourself, putting on the Word of God. When people ask you a question, you stand. You stand for God, you stand for truth. You stand against sin. And that same passage says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Yeah, it's your fight too. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You have to stand. You have to stand for what you believe in. You have to stand on the truth of God's Word. And you don't defend. Well, I think your thought and mine's worthless. If I can't back it up from God's Word, I don't care how many times I say it, it does not make it right. Too many times, let me tell you how we defend what we do, young people. We say, well, we're already doing this, so it makes it all right to do this. No, it does not. Ask, why are we doing the other one then if it's not right? We don't defend it on the basis of what we're already doing. We defend it on the basis of God's Word. Learn to give book, chapter, verse. You do not listen to Abe Martin unless he gives you book, chapter, and verse. Stand. Stand against sin. I don't care what kind of sin it is. And then learn to control yourself. Your parents have been controlling you for a while, and now all of a sudden you're free to do it, whatever you want to. You've grown up a little bit, and now you're out there. Don't be enticed by others. Proverbs 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. How many of us have been caught up because we were with some sinners? Some people who wanted to do what they wanted to do, and we got caught up in the moment and we did it with them. If we learn to control ourselves, we can add to one's life. Again, life on earth, so precious. This reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. Self-control. When do you learn that? Well, hopefully your parents have taught you how to control yourself, how not to give in to sin. But he goes on to say, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins. Is that just talking about us old people? No. It's talking about everyone that's responsible to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Need to show some discipline like Paul. You know what Paul said? He had to discipline his body and bring into subjection, lest when he preached to others, he would become disqualified. And what's amazing about this from 1 Corinthians 9:27 is that we think of Paul as being this strong person, but every day he had to work on himself. And as a young person, when's a good time to start? Right now, if you haven't already started. And then lastly, but not leastly, do not sow seeds of sin. I know so many people that go back and they say, I wish I had never, ever, ever started that habit. You know one good thing about habits? Do you? Well, if they're good habits, sure. How about all them bad ones? Do you know one good thing about them? I don't. Seeds of sin, rebellion. No one in this room is going to believe it about me, but I was a little bit rebellious. Just a little bit. He who mistreats his father in Proverbs 19 and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Proverbs 30, verse 1, there's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. They've rebelled. Look out today and tell me it hasn't happened. The family's fallen apart. We've talked about so many times. No parenting. And certainly no children, for the most part, that want to follow God. Fornication, it's rampant. All types of fornication. Name one, and it's out there. In Proverbs 2, 16 through 19, he says, wisdom will basically deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth. She knew better. And forgets the covenant of her God. The first covenant that we make when we get old enough to make it is with God. For her house leads down to the paths of the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Now, he's speaking in the finality of this. But the truth is, we can get out of sin, but don't start it. Proverbs 5, he discusses this as well. And he talks about how awful this is that we get into this type of a sin. 1-8. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion and your lips may know knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of light, her ways are unstable, you do not know them. Therefore hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Others. How many young people today we know won't go out to work because they're too lazy. They don't want to work for things. In Proverbs 1:13-14, he talked about these people that would come along and they'll entice you and they say, we shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. How many young people get caught up in taking from others? Proverbs 28:24, the worst kind. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same as a companion to destroyer. Alcohol and drugs. Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is led astray by them is not wise. Proverbs 23 talks about this same thing. And he talks about what it does to people and how they get so involved in these things. We're just talking to someone not too long ago, and they asked me, they said, well, Would you know how to deal with someone who is addicted to heroin? This young girl has left her family because she got addicted to heroin. Her parents are Christians. They don't even know where she is now. It happens. Alcohol and drugs, it gets us. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothie. At the last it bites like a serpent, stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you'll be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, "They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink?" These addictions, these sowing these seeds, it's harmful. It's terrible. Lying. Proverbs 6, 12 through 19, a worthless person, a wicked man, mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perverse is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He uses his mouth in all kinds of ways. He sows discord. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are abomination to him. Now let me ask. Lying tongue. And he goes on to talk about others. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift to running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. A lying tongue. People get used to lying as young people and they can't break the habit. Murder. Certainly young people wouldn't get into this, would they? Go to Chicago. Go to these big cities. Murder. Everywhere. Taking other young people's lives because they can. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, "Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause." Amazing, isn't it? How did Solomon write that so many years ago? Almost 3,000 years ago. I mean, that is amazing. You mean they were doing the same thing then? There were Chicagos around then? It's plain old laziness. Proverbs 6, 6 to 11, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." Isn't that amazing? That little ant just works all the time. And so many young people are so lazy they can't even hardly get up out of bed. "How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." Young people, listen. Listen to your parents. Listen to God. Obey your parents. Obey God. Serve your parents, your God, and your fellow man. Stand for God, for truth, for what's right. Learn to control yourself, because it gets every one of us. I don't care what age you are. I will tell you this. You start today controlling yourself. But that's what we can do with God's help. And don't sow the seeds of sin. Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10. "Rejoice," and get back to it, "O young man in your youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment." You see, it's not answering to me or to this church. It's answering to God. "Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart. Put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are empty." Because one day, you're not a child anymore. Just like with parents, do nothing and your life will come to nothing. Is that what you want? Don't obey your parents or those in authority or God. Guaranteed, your life will be a mess. Is that what you want? Learn to listen to your parents. But they're telling me about His Word. And be obedient to them. Learn to serve. Stand for the right one and the right things and learn to control self and don't sow those seeds because you will, I promise you, into trouble. I don't care. God will not be mocked. Whatever a person sows, that person will reap. Today, think about God. And again, thank you so much for being here. We do have visitors and we appreciate them being here so much. It is such a wonderful thing to have so many people in our audience, and we really do appreciate it. Not a Christian? Put sin away from your life. Not because, like Roger says, we can do it out of our own righteousness, but because God and do what He says, and then through the blood of Jesus Christ, He'll remove all sins. It's a promise from Him. If, and only if we believe in Christ, if we're willing to confess Christ and be immersed in water for the remission of our sins, or as a, if we're always, constantly changing our life to suit His will. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please?